Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't going to be in there. But 51% of your prisoners will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economic. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 or 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about something like about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. And so you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. And even though you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching, they never changed anything.
We'll be right back. Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles, the kid no one would pick, was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said, this man that went to heaven, he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it, just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around, he saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he said, nah, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you're having is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't, lose your faith and get on not meant to be way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on pity way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
All right, today's podcast is titled Send Seeds for Solar Farm at Earth Wealth E-Village. We're gaining some momentum to go into the new year 2022. And one of the projects, our first phase project, and let me explain what the title means, Send Seeds for Solar Farm at Earth Wealth E-Village. Let's start with, what's Earth Wealth E-Village? Well, we bought a four-acre tract of land 6 years ago in Hamilton County, Florida. It Hamilton County borders the state of Georgia, and it's about 90 miles away from Jacksonville, maybe two and a half, close to 3 hours, if not 3 hours away from Orlando and Disney World, maybe an hour or so away from the Gulf of Mexico. But in any event, the four-acre tract of land that we have is called Earth Wealth E-Village. Now, the full name is Earth, well, what does the E stand for? It stands for energy, Earth Wealth Energy Village. And we've posted, if you go to our Facebook page, which is titled It's My House TV, and scroll, you have to scroll down a little bit, but we've got an aerial picture of the 4 acres, and then we have on-the-ground pictures of this location, which is in a rural location and located once again in Hamilton County, Florida. So now we're ready to make some moves on it and have you guys visit there, and we can break bread, learn together, and do various things there. Now, the first phase, we're going to take, because like I said, it's 4 acres. So the first phase, we are taking 1 acre and we're reserving it for the community. All right, and we're talking about global community. If you happen to pass through Hamilton County, Florida. So we're going to have, to start off, weekly dinners, or weekly meals there, which will eventually morph to maybe 2 meals a day there, where no charge, just if you're part of the membership, just show up and eat. We'll be teaching people how to build homes that require no bank financing, no government aid whatsoever, no social services, nothing like that, no Wells Fargo, no finance companies, nothing like that. We'll be teaching people who know nothing about carpentry or nothing about building. We'll be teaching them. We'll have classes there for that. Free. All right. So free meals, free classes, and we're going to also install there a solar farm. Now, EarthWealth eVillage, and let me go more into this, the name EarthWealth. If you look at the aerial picture, which, like I said, we have, if you go to our Facebook page, EarthWealth, our Facebook page is It's My House TV. Go to that and scroll down. You'll find pictures, aerial view and all the ground view. We have a lot of vegetation there. There are quite a few trees. There's some open space, but there are quite a few trees. And then, you know, you've got leaves on dead leaves on the ground, or what people would call dead leaves. You know, branches that have, you know, fallen to the ground floor of the area there at our location. That's all EarthWealth. It's all EarthWealth. Because we can take the dead leaves and the fallen branches and we can compress them into biofuels where we can heat homes. We can cook meals. So the place is abundantly and bountifully rich in biofuels. We can also drill for water there. Legally, you know, we can legally do that. So there's a bunch of groundwater there. We can also legally harvest rainwater. And then there's, we have natural open spaces there where sunlight gets through, where we can place some solar panels and generate our own electricity. So it's a totally 100% off-the-grid community, and it's going to stay that way. Because we don't want electric bills. We don't want municipal water bills. We don't want to pay for outside companies to heat or cook anything. So that's why we call it EarthWealth, because it is, bountifully rich. I mean, there's just a lot of EarthWealth there. All right. Now, E, and that's what we call it, energy, because everything I just named, from the biofuels to the solar energy to the groundwater to the rainwater, it's all earth energy. Now, the E can also stand for e-commerce, Because at this location, which is slightly off the grid, you can still pick up an internet signal there, a clear internet signal. So, you know, we'll be doing e-commerce from there as well. So anyway, that's the story behind Earth Wealth E-Village, once again located in Hamilton County, Florida, which borders the state of Georgia. In phase one, in being in service to the community, like I said, we're taking 25% of the 4 acres, which is 1 acre, and we're going to dedicate that for, you know, the schools that we set up there and the workshops and the retreats. And we also said we'll offer free meals there up to maybe 2 a day once we get rolling. We're going to start off with 1 a week, but we want to grow our food. Okay. And, hell, you got 4 acres, so we're just taking one. And we're not even going to use that whole acre to grow. But it's a solar farm, and so we're asking for people to donate at least 1 packet of seeds. Pick your favorite fruit or vegetable. If you want to send us 1,000 packets of seeds, great. But we're asking people to send at least 1 packet of seeds. And if you can contact us at 8, text us, you know, because we'll give you the address where you can send the seeds. We don't want money. We want packets of seeds. You buy the seeds, you send them to us, we'll photograph it, we'll videotape it, we'll do a story on your packet of seeds from, you know, receiving it, planting it, nurturing it, pulling up the weeds, the harvest, the feeding people. We'll give you shout-outs on all that. So the text, matter of fact, you text me at 863-999-6494. Once again, if you are interested in donating at least 1 packet of seeds, you pick what type of seeds that you want to see grown, text me at 86, put in solar farm and packet of seeds, and then I'll send you back the location, the address where you can send the seeds. And that's, text me at 863-999-6494. Once again, 863-999-6494. And then put in the text, solar farm. Where can I send the seeds? Okay. And the original solar panel were leaves on plants anyway, or still is. So the solar farm will be growing food, as well as we'll set up a solar panel system to harness sunlight and daylight, where we can generate our own electricity and nobody gets an electric bill here at Earth Wealth E-Village. And we'll have various classes, not only on how to build in it, because we're not gurus. We're not selling courses it's free. Absolutely free. If you can make it to the location, you'll get hands-on instructions, and you're going to participate. This isn't a sit-back. It's not a passive classroom type thing. It's you're out off the grid, and you are building your own place. So, and we'll even tell you, you can make a business out of it, because we'll show you how to build, but you might not want to live in the structure you built. But you might want to build something and do an Airbnb business. So we'll have classes on, how to, build structures for your rental income business or a roof over your head or generational wealth, estate planning, growing food, totally eliminating your electric bill, water bill, or fuel bill from outside sources. So those are some of the things that we'll be offering at Earth Wealth Energy Village via our solar farm. So that's our phase one. And I've been doing this podcast for 7 years. It'll be 8 years, December 24th of this year. This is the first time for me personally asking for anything, not asking for money. I'm just asking for you to send at least one packet of seeds. And if you go online right now and look at your favorite hardware store or nursery or Home Depot, Lowe's, Menards, Ace Hardware, you know, there's a variety of seeds, packets of seeds that you can pick up for less than $5. So this is phase one. We're putting in a solar farm, and at the same time, we're going to start off with weekly meals. Show up. There'll be food there for you to eat, no charge. Then after we start harvesting our own food via the solar farm here, right here at Earth Wealth E-Village, then you can eat that, no charge. We'll be back with more information on this. And once again, if you're interested in sending us at least one, you can send us 1,000 packets of seeds if you want. But if you can send us at least one packet of seeds, what's your favorite vegetable? We're going to get into trees as well, but for right now, we just want seeds. Text us at 863-999-6494. Put in the text, solar farm, where can I send seeds? And then I'll send you back the address where you can send your packet of seeds. When we get it back, we'll make a short little video out of it, giving you a shout-out. We'll be back in a few minutes with Send Seeds for Solar Farm at Earth Wealth E-Village.
I was talking to a cat the other night. See, what everybody's looking for today. What everybody's looking for today. They're looking for escapism.
Come over here, brother, let me tell you something. You think we're talking too loud?
Hush that butt.
I ain't got no dust. I don't have to take it on the land.
Watch that man.
Huh?
Watch that man.
Watch him. Yeah, all right. You're right. Yeah, yeah. Coming from some funny places. What you say, bro?
What's happening? Wow.
Trying to get down.
Yeah.
Well, you know, look at him. We can't have that.
That's right. Right on. Yeah.
Ain't no alcohol. Man, I don't dig it. What you say, Jeton?
Hey, don't be so mean.
You know I'm clean now.
Had to get myself off speaker. All right. So today's podcast is titled Send Seeds for Solar Farmer Earth Wealth Energy Village. We're going to also have guests come from out of the country, particularly in rural areas, and see what they've done with solar. And I think this is something that you guys need to listen to.
People who live in towns and cities in Uganda and many other African countries have some access to grid electricity to light their homes and power their businesses. But many rural people aren't connected at all. But simply waiting for the grid to arrive isn't good enough for entrepreneurs like Moses Akera. He recognizes there's a good business to be made harnessing the power of the sun.
I really prefer solar to be used in the community like this, because it remains the property of the clients. You don't pay bills and you don't buy fuel like somebody using generator.
So solar energy is the best option for many rural Ugandans. But being new to the industry, many solar retailers like Moses were struggling to make their businesses a success.
We don't have capacity to advertise ourselves, our products. We don't have capacity to have quality technical training.
So the Rural Energy Foundation, a not-for-profit organization, introduced the Solar Now program in 2007. Its aim, to spread the benefits of electricity throughout rural Africa by providing training and support to existing solar retailers like Moses. And they encourage other retailers and entrepreneurs to start selling solar equipment from scratch.
Most of these retailers need to be supported in terms of training so that they can be able to run their businesses better. They also need support in terms of market awareness, because so many people out here in the field do not know about solar, so we need to come and enlighten them.
As well as training, the Rural Energy Foundation loans retailers portable demonstration kits, which they use to drum up business in local markets.
What we're trying to do is, these people are off-grid and they do not have access to electricity. So we're trying to show them how solar can improve their lives. For instance, we try to show them how they can make money from solar. For instance, here with us we have a shaver, so they can use this to have barbershops. We also show them how they can use it to use light at their homes. See, when you have this light in your house, the children can study at night. They can use it in their shops to work longer hours, and they can use it at home.
If retailers want to use the Solar Now brand, they have to commit to providing high-quality installations and good after-sales service. The Rural Energy Foundation helps them achieve this by training solar technicians.
We're trying to get the entrepreneurs to sign service contracts, so when they sell the product, it also comes with after-sales service. Let's say they have to check to make a phone call to the customer after a certain period to check if the system is working, and then till after some time through the service contract, they also have to go and actually do the inspection of the system.
The Rural Energy Foundation has trained over 200 retailers in 9 African countries. So far, they've sold 57,000 solar home systems and 36,000 solar lanterns. They've helped at least 400,000 people saved nearly 5 million litres of kerosene and 12,000 tonnes of CO2 each year. Basil Okelo is impressed and has decided to buy the equipment from Moses to set up his own solar barbershop and phone charging business. He's taking advantage of a credit scheme which helps entrepreneurs buy equipment from SolarNow retailers to get their businesses going.
SolarNow is giving me a loan. I'm going to make a down payment of 25% now. Later, in 3 months' time, I'll make another 25%, making a total of 50%. Then the remaining I'll complete within a period of a year.
With his system now installed, Basil is optimistic about the future.
Because this is a new investment I'm going into. I have never been into this business before. But as I see, I have the expectation that I'll make money.
Moses is growing his solar retail business too. He already had a shop in town. With support from the Rural Energy Foundation, he's now set up a small village branch to cater specifically for his rural customers.
Rural Energy Foundation is very important to us. If they help us training technicians, we shall be in position to expand all over.
We hope that others will also adopt the private sector development approach. We don't want to be unique. We want to spread the word that this is a really efficient approach to get the technology diffused deeply into the rural markets.
The Rural Energy Foundation plans to expand into other African countries and broaden its range of sustainable technologies. Solar panels are now becoming a common sight here on homes, and shops buy them as well to run radios and offer phone charging, increasing their income and enabling people to communicate. And to everyone's delight, the local bar has installed a fridge powered by the sun. The owner is pleased with his investment.
Yeah, we're happy. Of course, it's cold. The beer tastes better. And so I get more customers.
All right, that's the Rural Energy. And that was primarily filmed in Uganda. And a few years ago, we had somebody on from Uganda. We plan on flying them in so he can do, you know, me personally, I got into solar energy and renewable energy in Germany, which is ahead of the United States. However, in my opinion, Africa is ahead of, I would say, the majority of, if not all, Western countries when it comes to affordable solar to people. There's a book titled Fortune at the Bottom of the Pyramid. You know, that, I mean, basically Sam Walton, the late Sam Walton and his wife Alice, how did they become billionaires? They serve people at the bottom of the pyramid. So for the business models in Africa, India, and other parts of Asia, particularly Southeast Asia, you've got people there that one example, a group of ladies, maybe they were in India, they went solar, and they put the grid, the electric grid that was in that particular neck of the woods, they put them out of business. And there's another example of just regular citizens that got together and put the local electric company out of business. So at Earth Wealth E-Village, we're going to bring people in that have actually participated in ventures like this and have done that, including some of the innovative things that you might have heard in this last audio clip, like solar barbershops. You know, the United States is totally wide open, man. Imagine cutting people's hair, and you know, you're not plugged in. You got electric, but you're not plugged into the local power company. So we'll be back with more just in a minute.
1986, when the Chernobyl disaster sent radioactive clouds all over Europe, we knew we had to do something against nuclear energy. Many parents were really concerned about their children, and so some of us formed a group named Parents for a Nuclear Free Future. We began to educate ourselves in how to save energy. We started in our own home, and then we tried to motivate others to do the same. We wanted the energy company to support us, but they told us no, because we want to sell energy and not to save energy. And so one day we had the idea to take over the grid.
Citizens could generate their own power from solar, hydro, and wind.
Small producers are paid when they feed their electricity into the grid. Consumers are rewarded when they save energy.
So then there was only one question. How do we get the power grid? When the election came up to decide who controls the grid, we knew it was now or never.
EWS, the Shunau Electrical Power Company, held two citizen referendums and won them both.
The power company said, well, you have the votes, but we have the grid. And we want 9 million Dutch mark, and either you pay it or we don't give you the grid. So we had a campaign asking people to help us raising this money.
It took EWS 7 long years to purchase the electrical grid.
This power company was afraid that this was the beginning of a movement, and it was.
Under Ursula's plan, homeowners have small power plants called cogenerators. EWS is now collectively owned by more than 1,000 citizens.
A year after we had taken the grid, the German electricity market was deregulated. Every person could buy electricity from the company he had chosen. And that is the idea of renewable power, because it's decentralized.
This is grassroots at its best. More than 100,000 people now have the electric current from this very small city, and they are very proud of it.
We want to have 100% renewable energy in 2050. All studies say it is possible to do that, and so we will do it.
For outstanding environmental achievement in Europe, the 2011 Goldman Environmental Prize is awarded to Ursula Sladek, Schunau, Germany.
And there's a bunch of little communities around the globe, more and more each day. I was right near that, because I spent quite a bit of time in Germany. I didn't know about that village. Right at it, looking back at it, near it. I was at another place called Vauban, which is near the Black Forest, also known in what you say it in Deutsch, Schwarzwald, but translated in English is Black Forest. But right on, and that's in the Black Forest area where they're talking about. But the place that I did go to, did take pictures, and we're going to include with this solar farmer, Earthwealth E-Village, is in a little community or district called Vauban. And what part of Germany is that in? Right on the tip of my tongue. Anyway, And I'll load up some pictures and videos that I have that I took of the place. I mean, it's well over a decade. But I'll place it up there within the next 24 hours on our Facebook page, Ismael's Facebook page. But they have, when you drive there, there are no gas-powered cars that are allowed in this particular village, because Vauban's like a sustainable solar village that houses about 5,000 to 6,000 people. So no gas-powered cars are allowed. If you do have a gas-powered car, because that's how most people get to the fringes of it, there's a solar garage. Okay, you can park your car there, and then if you look from ground level, there's a row or battery of solar panels on the top of that. So the garage, I mean, that's an industry. Look how many, next time you go driving around, you know, I doubt if you're going to see any solar garages here in the United States. There might be one or two. I know where I'm at here. Somebody's got a business where they have a solar carport that, you know, can house several cars. But we'll bring in people like that, like an Ursula Sledek, and they started, her and her husband, and maybe two or three neighbors, they just met at the little neighborhood village pub with an idea of, like you heard what she said, they wanted to save energy. And the nuclear plant wanted to sell energy. So it took them 7 years, and I guess we're right on time because we've been poking at it for 7 years. It'll be eight. I've had the 4 acres for 6 years. So, but I've been going solo. Now I'm starting to add other people in. But they bought the grid. They bought the nuclear power grid, shut it down, and now the enterprise that started with just a husband and wife and two or three neighbors meeting at little German neighborhood village pub. And some villages, I don't know how big their villages, I have to look it up, but there's, because small villages in Germany are called Dorf, D-O-R-F. The smallest one I've been in just had four households. There are quite a few that might have maybe 15, 18, 19 households. Some might have 1,000 or 2,000 people. They vary in size, but they're small places. And, the other place in Germany, like Feldheim, Germany, which is maybe an hour away from Berlin, Germany, they run totally 100% off of renewable energy. I mean, they even harness cow dung, pig dung. I don't know if they work their way up to human feces yet, but they take feces, waste matter, process it, and that generates electricity for their village. That's in Feldheim, Germany. So we'll be bringing people over like that, and then all we're doing is we're just copying what they do. Because, now let me give you my vision. And I've put out these stats before. In the United States, there are over 19,000 municipalities. All right. Only 10 of those municipalities have a population of 1 million people or more. That's it. 47% of municipalities in the United States have populations of 5,000 people or less. And that's where you begin to find where the action is. Sam Walton and his late wife, Alice, I think the first Walmart was opened in Bentonville, Arkansas, and Bentonville has a population today of 49,467 people. But if you drop down to towns that have a population of 4,000 people, or even 400 people. Once again, 47% of the municipalities in the United States have a population of less than 5,000 people. That's where you're going to see the innovation. That's where you pick up traction. So in our little place in Hamilton County, Florida, it's so small that they don't even list the population. So it's got to be under 1,000 people. I typically look for places that have under 400 people, you know, place 400 people. But in any event, so Ursula Sobeck, you know, once again started, you know, her and her husband with two or three neighbors. Now, those little pub meetings, where it took them 7 years or so to raise enough money to buy out the nuclear grid and shut it down, their enterprise, their village enterprise, now does over 100 million euro yearly. As you heard, I'm going to play the video one more time before I go to the phone. Individual homes have, and you know what? Just like everybody had, I'm putting this out there, because this is one of the reasons why I love international travel. When you travel internationally, I believe that will give you the crystal ball of things to come, particularly here in the Western Hemisphere. Now, let me give an example. At one time, very few people had telephones. And then, you know, Ma Bell had a monopoly at one time. Then, it broke up. And then now, everybody's got a phone. The technology right now is in place globally, where everybody can have their own electric company and own water company, whatever you need to heat your home if you're in that type of a climate. The technology exists for that right now. Ursula Sobeck, they didn't invent anything. They just, like you heard her say, that's why I'm going to play the audio again, they educated themselves into a 100 million euro venture. They might be double that now, but you know, that's the last I checked. So it's not these little rural villages. It's not only these little rural villages in Africa and Asia or whatever. That's where the ball is going. People are, who are in the know, are firing their local electric companies and water companies and other fuel companies that might exist. I know where I'm at. We fired the water company 30 years ago. Now, there's municipal water where I'm at. And if I call them up, they'll come here and, you know, they'll send me a bill every month. I got a well here with a reverse osmosis filtering system. Their ass has got fired 30 years ago. At Earth Wealth E-Village, with our solar farm, that's how we're starting off as one of those free classes that we're going to be offering. including retreats. That's where the ball's going. Once again, just like the person on Section 8 who might be at the Social Services Office, who might be on welfare, everybody in the United States and Canada, matter of fact, the entire Western Hemisphere, globally, in developing countries, formerly known as third world countries, has got a smartphone. What I'm saying, and this isn't even a prediction, because it's happening already. People are going to, like, for instance, in Washington, D.C., Pepco is the monopoly for the electric company. People are slowly going solar there, and some have already fired Pepco. They still have over 1.2 million customers. You know, people in like New York City, Con Ed, you know, whatever they got in Chicago, you know, PG&E out in California, people in the know, and it's right on YouTube, people in the know are slowly going to renewable energy. What I like about African innovation, now I call it African innovation. I get some of my best ideas out of Africa. That's why I love the idea. Solar barbershops, it's on the way. You're not going to see these innovations in a New York. You're not going to see these innovations in the top 500 largest cities in the United. I would say the top 1,000. Once again, there are over 19,000 municipalities in the United States. Where you see the future in the United States is you got to go to these small little itty bitty towns. Come to us in Hamilton County, Florida, where, like, seriously, this, I don't know how many people are in the particular area that we're in. I mean, I've seen towns, population 5 people, 10 people, and I've seen some of my neighbors, but, you know, I don't go around counting households, but, it, you know, everybody's got 5-acre tracts, 4-acre tracts, 30-acre tracts. We kind of mind our business. But you'll see that. So I'll go to the phone lines here shortly, but I want to play the Sladek thing. I want you to pay close attention to it because, like I said, this is over 100 million year old business, renewable energy business, solar business that started with 5 people. The age of the solar or the renewable energy entrepreneur, which includes solar entrepreneurs, is here. You're not going to find them in the top 10 cities in the United States. To do, once again, I recommend the book Fortune at the Bottom of the Pyramid by C.K. Prahalad. The action is in the communities at the bottom of the pyramid.
In 1986, when the Chernobyl disaster sent radioactive clouds all over Europe, we knew we had to do something against nuclear energy. Many parents were really concerned about their children, and so some of us formed a group named Parents for a Nuclear Free Future. We began to educate ourselves in how to save energy. We started in our own home, and then we tried to motivate others to do the same. We wanted the energy company to support us, but they told us no, because we want to sell energy and not to save energy. And so one day we had the idea to take over the grid.
Citizens could generate their own power from solar, hydro,
and wind.
Small producers are paid when they feed their electricity into the grid. Consumers are rewarded when they save energy.
So then there was only one question. How do we get the power grid? When the election came up to decide who controls the grid, we knew it was now or never.
EWS, the Shunau Electrical Power Company, held two citizen referendums and won them both.
The power company said, well, you have the votes, but we have the grid. And we want 9 million Dutch mark, and either you pay it or we don't give you the grid. So we had a campaign asking people to help us raising this money.
It took EWS 7 long years to purchase the electrical grid.
This power company was afraid that this was the beginning of a movement, and it was.
Under Ursula's plan, homeowners have small power plants called co-generators. EWS is now collectively owned by more than 1,000 citizens.
A year after we had taken the grid, the German electricity market was deregulated. Every person could buy electricity from the company he had chosen. And that is the idea of renewable power, because it's decentralized.
This is grassroots at its best. More than 100,000 people now have the electric current from this very small city, and they are very proud of it.
We want to have 100% renewable energy in 2050. All studies say it is possible to do that, and so we will do it.
For outstanding environmental achievement in Europe, the 2011 Goldman Environmental Prize is awarded to Ursula Sladek, Schunau, Germany.
Hi, folks. In this video, I'd like to talk about how to have a home with no house payments and no monthly utility bills. You may think that's not possible, but I do it, and lots of other people do it as well. I'm going to show you how it can be done, how it can be done very inexpensively, and just kind of give you some ideas for things that you can do that society and the economic powers that be don't want you to know. So stay with me for a second and let me walk you through this. First, you need some land. This is my piece of land, which is under an acre, about 3/4 of an acre. And that's really all you need to take care of most of the needs you have and for running a small homestead. Now, I was lucky enough to get this piece of property from family. It was willed to me when my father passed away. But I have also purchased small pieces of property like this for under $400. I have an acre down in Arizona near Sholo, Arizona that I purchased for under $400. I have 5 acres near El Paso, Texas that I purchased for under $700. So it's very easy to find a piece of land if you do some looking around. eBay is a good source for finding land. Tax sales are a good source for finding land. Family members may want to sell off a piece of land. Go around looking in rural areas, and maybe you'll find a farmer that wants to split off a small piece of land and would gladly sell you one. You don't have to spend a lot of money on land, okay? This is land that doesn't have utilities run to it. It doesn't have a blacktop road that runs into it or driveway. It's rough land. That's what you start with usually if you want to buy a small piece of land that you're going to homestead on. After you have your piece of land, then you're going to have a house. You can have a big house like most people live in, and you can pay a lot of money for it and have a mortgage and be a slave to the system for another 30 years, or you can decide if you'd like to build a smaller house like mine. Paid for with cash. This is my solar cabin. The cabin cost me $2,000 to build. That does not include the doors and windows, which I salvaged off of a trailer that was being torn down. For the cabin, it cost me $2,000. It is 14 by 14. Downstairs is living area, dining area, bathroom, kitchen. Upstairs, I have a loft, bedroom, and an office. In my other videos, I take you on a complete walkthrough of this cabin, so watch those if you want to see how the cabin is as large as it is and functional on the inside. Up there on my roof, you see my solar panels. That's a 350-watt solar system that provides all of my electricity needs for lights, TVs, water pumps, all miscellaneous gadget, laptop, TV, run my vacuum, and everything else off of a 350-watt system. That 350-watt system cost me under $3,000. $2,000 for the cabin, $3,000 for the power system of solar electricity, and I use propane. I have a propane tank in the back of the cabin, and I have a propane furnace, fridge, stove, and on-demand water heater, and those cost me just about $200 for an entire year. And we have cold winters here, folks. Under $200 for an entire year for all of my propane. That is the only utility bill I have. I do not pay for electricity. I do not pay for water because I drilled my own water well. Before I drilled my own water well, though, I hauled water in. But drilling a water well on a piece of property is not that hard. You can either do it yourself or hire somebody to do it. So I have no monthly utility bills. I have a house that's completely paid for. And I have freedom. A freedom that you can't get when you're under the pressure of a mortgage and utility bills. I want you to take just a minute and think about what you could do with your life if you had no house payments and no utility bills. And I'm telling you, it is completely possible. I'm not going to go into any details of how to get out of the house that you're in. You're going to have to figure that out and talk to some professionals for some help that way. All I'm here to do is tell you it's completely possible. Now, some of you are looking at the cabin and saying, yeah, but I couldn't possibly live in anything that small. This cabin was designed specifically for additions to be built on any of three sides. As you can see, the cabin has no windows on any of the three sides. There is a window in the back door glass. The sides are 14 by 14. The cabin was built to have shed additions built on all three sides. This cabin is 400 square feet approximately inside with 200 square foot footprint. When you add on additions, you could add on an additional 400 square feet on either side and off the back, giving you anywhere from 800 to 1,200 square feet. The great thing about building a small cabin to start out with, though, is it gives you a place to live when you build on your additions. And that way you can wait and live very cheaply without any house payments or utility bills. And then when you have the money, you can build on the additions to expand the cabin. That's very good for a single person or a young couple who don't have children because you don't need a whole lot of space to start off with. This way you can save for it, build on as you want to, have the additions, have the extra room if that's what you want. Now, I live full-time in this cabin. I live by myself, but my girlfriend comes up here on the weekends, and we stay together, and let me tell you, it's perfectly comfortable. We don't feel cramped at all, and we'd much rather have a small place like this. It takes a lot less money to heat, takes a lot less money to cool, it's a lot easier to clean, it's just a fantastic home. Now, I'm not trying to push you into building a home exactly like mine. I'm just trying to provide you with some ideas. If you wanted to come up with different ideas, a different plan, that's just fine by me. But if you are interested in learning how to build a home like mine, I do have an ebook available and a printed book available called Simple Solar Homesteading. Go to www.simplesolarhomesteading.com. You can learn how to build a cabin like mine or at least get some great ideas for building your own home. Now I want to repeat. I own my land. I have a house that I built for under $2,000. I have a solar electric system that I have for under $3,000. I use propane, which costs me under $200 a year. I have no house payments. I have no utility bills. If you want a life like this, it is very possible. You can stop listening to the media, and you can stop being put under society's pressures to live in the type of houses that everyone tells you you have to live in. You can live very inexpensively, and you can do this at any age, whether you're older or younger. If you're younger and you start in a place like this, imagine the amount of money that you would have to retire on. with no house payments, no utility bills, and freedom. Thank you for joining me, folks. Please watch the rest of my videos for more detailed information on each of the systems and a complete walkthrough of the cabin.
And that's where the ball's going. You're not going to have everybody that's going to jump on that bandwagon. But, I mean, just look what, for the last 10 years or so, and still now, it hasn't slowed down, the tiny house movement, particularly in Western countries. Well, let's talk about here in the United States. Every day, there's no shortages of new videos being uploaded to YouTube on a daily, around the clock, for people who have built their own tiny house. Now, typically, and we're talking about families, typically people who build their own tiny house, they do it out of pocket. They're not getting 30-year mortgages. They're not going to the VA. They're not getting FHA mortgages. They're not going to Bank of America. They're coming out of their pocket, and they're building what they can afford, which if you look at the historical or the history of mankind in shelter, that's what man did up until bankers and through their political influence or whatever within the last 200 years or so. So you're not going to find a Lamar Alexander in Manhattan or Los Angeles or Seattle. But once again, let's look at the landscape. Out of the over 19,000 municipalities in the United States, only 10 of them have a population of a million or more people. And out of that 19,000-plus municipalities in the United States, I would say, well, once again, let's go back to the sets. 47% of the towns in the United States, that's nearly 50% population of 5,000 people or less. That's where you're going to find the innovation in those towns that have a population of 5,000 people or less. Those are people that don't need rent court. They don't need a bankruptcy court. They don't need it. That's where the action is. However, the mainstream media does most of their reporting out of those, well, they go beyond it, you know, the most populated areas in the United States. But essentially, because here's the thing. And I've mentioned this stat on here before. 75 to 80% of the population of the United States only occupies about 3 to 5% of the total land mass. You know, a percentage of the population of the United States in those cities that have a population of a million or more people, like New York City metro area, I mean, that metro area alone houses about maybe 2 to 3%, if not more, of the total population of the United States. However, if you get outside of New York City, and you go to places like, you know, Buffalo, New York, Rochester, New York, Niagara Falls, New York, you know, you can get a house that's, I used to go up to Buffalo, New York to buy $500 to $700 houses. I don't know if they still got it up there like that, but you can look it up on the internet right now and see if they do. Matter of fact, since I did bring it up, Chanel, Germany, that village where Ursula Sadek, where her and her husband and a couple of neighbors got together, of course, the meetings grew because they had to raise the 9 million Deutschmarks to buy the grid. But the population of that little village, well, they got smaller villages, but the population of that place is today is 2,425 people. People, that's where the action's at. It's not New York City. It's not Los Angeles, California. It's not Chicago, Illinois, Orlando. Those are in markets. Those places are, I would say, if you take out of the 19,000 plus cities in the United States, if you take the one, take the thousand, take one city, take the top 1,000 densely populated cities in the United States, I would call those 1,000 cities consumer markets. You know, they're more regulated because they have more people. All right. And those people that are living in the most densely populated 1,000 cities in the United States, they are in those places for the comfort and conveniences that that particular municipality offers. Like, they might have a bus service, taxi cabs. You know, a handful of cities, not that many cities that have a subway in the United States. Most municipalities in the United States do not have a subway. Not that many have a bus line. Greyhound, Megabus, there are more towns than not that don't have convenient transportation. So, these densely populated areas, like say from, 1,000 to number one, which is New York City, people that are living in these cities, they're there primarily for comfort and convenience, meaning, all right, I can get a job here, all right, it'll take me no more than maybe an hour to get to work. And you know what? I'm going to expand that to 3 hours, a three-hour radius, because there are many people, and you can look it up on YouTube, there are many people that work in Silicon Valley or New York City. They work in Silicon Valley. They work in Chicago. They work in New York City or Washington, D.C., but they live 1, 2, 3 hours away by commute. They can't afford to live where they work. Now, with people, working more remotely, once again, all that's part of the game change. Robin, you got any comments to make on sending seeds for the solar farm or anything that's going on with Earthwealth? Once again, that's our phase one. Our phase one, where it's not going to break the bank. All right, sending seeds. Robin must be off someplace. But that's where the ball's going. And think about it. Let's take the mother of 2, 3, 4 kids, or even 5 kids. Matter, you know what? I'm going to give a real example. I have a friend of mine, lives in Southeast Asia, single mother with 2 children. Her kids are going to school remotely right now. They're going to school online. And she's got a smartphone, and the kids are attending school with the smartphone. And she can afford a smartphone. Her challenge of late is she needs two more smartphones, because that one smartphone is needed not only for her to help run the household and run her family's life, but the kids, each kid needs one. They use that smartphone to attend school Monday through Friday during this whole pandemic thing. That's what's going on right now. So technology that she has in this developing country, some people might call it a third world country, the average person who is on welfare now in the United States or any developing country or any country in the world, the poorest of people have more technology than President John F. Kennedy did in 1960. People are discovering slowly, but you know what? The hell with paying this electric bill. I'm doing like Lamar. And that's what we're putting together the solar farm, and we're offering free classes on how to build and how to grow your own food, because I'm not doing anything new. I'm copying off of Ursula Sladek. I'm copying off the World Energy Foundation. I'm copying off people that already got it going. That's all we're doing here. It's my house. But we're ahead of the crowd because solar barbershops. There might be one or two here in the United States. I don't know where they are. If they are, let me know. I had them on as a guest. But at Earth Wealth E-Village, we're going to have one of the first solar barbershops in the country. And we want people to see the technology so they can go back to wherever they came from and set up an enterprise for profit in their neck of the woods. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning. Hello, everyone.
All right, you're bright-eyed and bushy. I see you got you repowered your batteries there.
Yes.
I'm taking that nap. So, people, now a lot of these ideas that came for the solar farm and Earth Wealth, Robin, a lot of these ideas came from Robin. So, Robin, thank you again. I took between Sunday and last night, I took four pages of notes from Robin with some innovative stuff. So some of this stuff you will see at Earth Wealth and within phase one. And like I said, phase one, we're asking for seeds. But anyway, Robin, your thoughts, comments, all that kind of stuff.
Well, you know, if you want to be blessed, then help others. It's always about helping others that really gets God's attention, and then he starts moving on your behalf, you know. And so I just say kudos to you, and it's a real joy watching you discover all these endeavors. Yeah, keep it up.
Well, we got tomorrow we have a live event, but it's online because you laid out the format. We're going to start off with weekly meals at Earth Wealth up in Hamilton County on the 4 acres. So we're going to have weekly meetings. So tomorrow, December 1st, we're going to be discussing that and then set a date when we'll be, meeting up there weekly and, you know, setting up dates on, you know, the build classes and type of stuff. So I listed it yesterday, I'll have it by tomorrow morning. You know, I'll look it up and announce it tomorrow. But, I know it's at 7 p.m. Matter of fact, if 7 p.m. tomorrow night, Eastern Standard Time, if you go to our Facebook page, which is It's My House TV on Facebook, we'll be streaming on there live. So, and that will, we might set the date then. Yeah, like we said, we'll be going there. We'll start off with once a week. And Rob, you want to go through the basic format you came up with on, you know, the eating, the building, and all that?
Yeah. So we discovered that when you feed people, you get their attention. Mm-hmm. So,
right. Excellent marketing tool.
Yes. And so we're going to have, starting off with weekly community meals. And we'll, a lot of the food, a lot of the ingredients for the food will come from the community garden that we're going to have. There's going to be a community garden and a community park as well. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So as
now
a,
before
as
the,
a,
before we plant anything, that's what we're asking for, seeds, packet of seeds. Now we'll have food out there where it nobody ought to pay. You know, on the way there, I'll maybe pick up some pizzas or something like that.
Or we'll do a potluck.
Exactly. We're going to move the potluck, like, real quick.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, people will be right there on location so they can see it. And then continue on, Robin. So we got the meal. So discuss the format for, like, you know, let's say a person comes there and they don't have a place to stay. But let's say they make it there by 10 o'clock in the morning, what happens?
Okay, a person comes there, they don't have a place to stay. So we go, okay, well, not only can we give you a place to stay, but we can teach you how to build, right? So in 4 hours, we'll teach you how to build your place that you will own in 4 hours, okay? And then afterwards,
people got to remember this: many hands make light work.
Many hands make light work. Now we're also going to have like a food pantry, if you will, an actual restaurant that it might only have just a few items on the menu, but people will be able to come and eat for a very low amount of money. And if they don't have money, they can work for 15 minutes. They can wash dishes or go help build on a house or go work in the garden. Or there's plenty of stuff, plenty of work to do. Work for 15 minutes and you can eat. If you work an hour, you can eat, come back later and eat 3 more times, or you can put the excess time in the bank so that someone who can't work and doesn't have money can still eat. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So that all combined, you can come in. You'll have to go through an orientation, right? And
right.
You'll be provided a meal, and you go out there and you build, and you're building to live, and then you will own what you built. So when you come there in the morning, in the afternoon, you won't be homeless anymore. You'll go from homeless to home ownership in 4 hours. Yeah.
Right.
So that's
now, mind you, it's not going to be a mansion. Okay.
Of course not.
You know,
no. No.
We're talking
and
about
then,
simple structures.
Yes, and then after that initial day, then we can talk about things that you can do to stay beyond that, you know, such as...
And, you know, getting your own land. We'll have classes on how to get your own land. You know, once you build something, where you're going to place it.
Get your own land, things like that. So,
right.
So most transitional programs, I'll use a shelter system, if you will. Okay,
mm-hmm.
they'll assign you a case manager, and then they'll have you go through whatever you have to go through, right? And then they'll follow you and support you all the way up until you get into housing. Okay,
mm-hmm.
If it's transitional housing, you might keep a case management, but most likely it will drop off, especially if you get into permanent housing, so that and once they start cutting you a check, and once you get placed in housing, the support goes away.
Yeah.
But what you end up have happening is you've got people who've been homeless or struggling or surviving in a certain mode for a very long time, and that's all that they know. So you take
right.
people, and you would think you give them money, and you put them in a place that they're going to be all right. But no, they're not, because if you haven't given them new information, new skills, then they're going to fall back on their old habits, and they're probably going to fail.
Right.
Okay? And you're going to look at them and go, oh, well, here you are again. We invested all this money and all this time, and here you go. But no, you walked them all the way up to the door, and then you dropped them off like the scruff of their neck. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
These people didn't get there by themselves. And so I say if social service agencies, if you're going to help people, you need to think it all the way through, and you need to follow all the way through. On a case.
Right, that's
halfway.
One of the classes. I'm glad you brought that up, Robin. There's a lot of transitional housing programs out here. A lot of them are run by the government or what have you. But we're talking about permanent. If you taught how, and once again, the entry class is all free. We'll have some retreats, but the entry classes are free. So I've taken in people from transitional housing programs. One story that I shared with you, I think yesterday, a guy was in prison. He got transferred to a halfway house. He got a job. They had a contract. I guess DOC, Department of Corrections, had a contract that he was working with the water company in Washington D.C. And he was getting a paycheck and going to work and all that stuff. But then the contract ended. They didn't renew it, or they only allowed people in from whatever DOC a certain amount of months. They dropped him, and he couldn't get a job right away. And he was I was his landlord. I said, man, I cut him as much slack as I could. I had to let him go. His girlfriend left
now.
Him. You know, all
so
that. But that's all with transitional housing. We're talking about if you learn how to build a tiny house or a small house that is off the grid, that's yours. It's considered personal property. And you don't have to worry about that problem ever again in life.
Yep. And you can live in it, or you can Airbnb it. I mean, there's so many things that you can do with that. So some might say, Well, I live in a place where tiny houses aren't allowed. Okay, we'll scrutinize the laws because tiny homes aren't allowed in Seattle, but mother-in-law are. Go figure. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it's just semantics, what you call it. Don't call it a tiny house. Call it a bonus room. Okay? Call it a second den, a standalone. Call it whatever you want to. What, you understand? You know, you can.
Yeah, but it is what you say it is, but don't. Yeah, tiny house is a bad word to a lot of zoning people. But like you said, look at the law.
Well,
because
the reason why, let's explain to the people the reason why tiny house is a bad name to most cities and municipalities. It's because it's a non-permanent structure, meaning that they cannot assess it for taxes.
Right.
That's why they don't like it. Okay, people?
Right.
So, and if you're paying attention, I hope somebody's really smart. Permanent structures, tax. Just saying. Okay.
Right.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, you're absolutely right. Like at Earth Wealth, now legally, and I knew this before I even got to land, the smallest permanent structure that is defined as a house in Hamilton County, this part of Hamilton County, is 480 square feet. That means it'll have to be legally a house in this section of Hamilton County, Florida, because it's a rural area. It's zoned agricultural, number one. I don't buy anything that's zoned residential. Although you can put residents on there, but it's zone agriculture. And we'll go off through this when we do the classes. The house, to put a legal house on this land, it needs to be a minimum, which means it has to be on a slab, a permanent foundation. It must be a minimum of 480 square feet. I don't call 480 square feet tiny. I call it small. I can put a family in 480 square feet, okay, and be comfortable in 480 square feet. All right, but...
Most people...
And we're only allowed to have maybe two structures on there like that, whereas...
Yeah.
There's no
most
limit
people, most
to 240
people
square feet.
Most people in the house, right, they might sleep in separate bedrooms, but during the waking hours, most people are usually all gathered in one room together.
True.
Okay.
Well, yeah, that's the whole, what Jay Schaefer with the whole tiny house movement, when he you know, kind of coined that term tiny house.
You have people get up.
He said basically tiny houses cut the fat.
They brush their teeth, they use the bathroom, and then they go, everybody goes in the kitchen, and then they get ready for school. Mom does the little girl's hair. Dad is reading the newspaper. The kids go to work, so mom pulls out her laptop. Now she's sitting there placing orders, doing whatever. They come home. They throw off their shoes. They have a snack. Everyone's on the couch cooking dinner, but everyone is still in the living room watching mom cook dinner, waiting for dinner to get done. Okay. And the majority of that, so you know what I would do? I'd be like, okay, I'm going to get one room, and I'm going to stack bunk beds in it, and all y'all is going to sleep in that one room since y'all only occupy. And they would say, I didn't sleep in that. Yeah, well, you occupy one room all day long anyway. So what's the difference?
Yeah, most people only live in two, maybe three rooms tops. Now, you might have a 20-room mansion, and all those rooms are what do you call it? You know what? Here's the best example. Buckingham Palace. Buckingham Palace, where the Queen lives, Queen of England, has over 700 rooms. The Queen only lives in two to three. Her bedroom, her office, and if they have a state function, she might be in that room for a little bit or that. We're talking about the Queen of England. That's it. That's what a 700-room palace.
A lot of what you call Windsingham or whatever, in Windsor. It's a
it's
lot
office.
Of it is in need of repair and uninhabitable.
Right.
Because they can't, well, it's not that they can't afford it, but they stopped spending the money to keep it up. Okay?
Because
you have to remember that aside from the Windsor, okay, everyone that lives in Windsor, all of them have second houses and summer houses and stuff like that. Right?
Right.
And then they all have positions in the Queen's hierarchy, right? So, and with that comes a stipend and a house and cars and all of that. And so it's a lot of money that the Queen is responsible for paying. So they...
Right.
A
you
lot
know what,
of
if I were the Queen... If I were the Queen, and I guess it's got to go through Parliament over there in England, I would monetize those rooms that need repaired or not used that often, because they have a lot of offices in that place. I would monetize that for tourists. You know, spend a night but talk about the ultimate Airbnb.
Yeah.
That's what
because
I would
guess
do.
What? They already have the Bobbies as a tourist attraction.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So you have a whole lot of people that live in the UK, and there's a whole bunch of tourists that would gladly pay, no pun intended, a king's ransom to do an Airbnb in Buckingham Palace? I'm just saying.
You know, just saying. Watch this. The people that own in Detroit, right?
Mm-hmm.
That house, that building, that Berry Gordy, and shout out to Berry Gordy, he just turned 92 years old on the 28th.
Congratulations.
Happy birthday
to him.
If I was the owner of that property today, I would be
Well, you know they
turned
it into
out.
A museum.
Well, I don't even care. I would still be Airbnb-ing it out. I'd have it as a museum. And I'd say, and then when you get done on the museum, you can also reserve a room and stay. And I would Airbnb that puppy. Oh, yes,
you know
I
what?
Surely
that's an excellent idea because I visited if you ever get to Detroit, people, go visit, I think it's on Grand Avenue or something like that in Detroit. It is a very simple house that everybody has been inside of. And he just, but you're right, Robin. Whoever owns it, controls it now. I mean, it's already a tourist attraction, but they can really monetize it if they would rent out one of those bedrooms or whatever. I think the recording studio was in the basement, but and they did. I think they had another recording area up on the top floor. I mean, main floor. But you're right. Hell, you know what? I don't know what happened with Neverland, the Michael Jackson estate. But yeah, rent those bad boys out. He would gladly pay. Weekends, honeymoons, conferences.
that,
Neverland could,
that we all know for the greater, something for the greater good
for
of
the greater
community.
Good. And
right?
That's why with phase one, with our 4 acres, we're taking 1 acre for the community with the solar farm so we can grow food to feed people, teach people how to grow food, teach people how to, we're not charging anything. But we do need your help to start off. We're asking for, if you can spare 1 packet of seeds. Now, if you want to send us 500,000 packets, we'll accept. If you don't have it, send us at least one. 1 packet of seeds, depending on what you're sending us, could be less than $5 from Walmart or Ace Hardware Store or your local garden nursery. But if you're interested in sending, we're not asking for money, send us the packet of seeds. Send us a text at 863-999-6494. That's 863-999-6494. Put solar farm and then send address. Then what I'll do is I'll text you back with the mailing address where you can send the seeds. Once we get the seeds back on this end, we'll photograph it, do a little video, post it up online, give you a shout out, and then when we do our weekly meals, and it's going to start up with a lunch meal, midday meal up there at Earth Wealth E-Village, because 5 o'clock down in this neck of the woods, things are getting dark. So we want to have plenty of daylight because it is a wooded area. But you'll see when we receive it, break open the packet. We'll have classes beforehand on how to grow stuff from people who are gardeners, green thumb gardeners, and farmers. Okay. That's not my lane. I'm going to be learning along with you. All right. My lane was I know how to find cheap land and I know how to put together an inexpensive building. That's my lane. But we'll have people on that have green thumbs and gardening and farming, and we'll put the free class. So just text 863-999-6494. Okay. And text in solar farm. And now we're going to go overtime today, so we'll be back in 2 minutes, and we'll be going into overtime. Send seats for the solar farm.
How it go?
We got one out of 2 of them motherfuckers, you know?
You mean you motherfuckers come strolling in here all walking tall and shit?
Look, we out, man. I'm saying, man, we was blazing on them dudes, man. You know what I'm saying? Just got in the heat, man. We was blazing, though. It was late.
All right. Relax, man. I already heard. Go sit down. I'm not tweaking behind none of this. That's one less motherfucker that's breathing than was yesterday. You know what I'm saying? So we all good. But I'm surprised at you, though, man. Shit didn't get by you back when.
Well, my man's fault, man. I unloaded on the younger too soon, man. Gave him enough room to buck and run, man. I fucked that shit up myself, you know.
Hold on. It's on me. I had that kid in my sights. Close enough to take off his Kango and half his dome with it. Couldn't squeeze the trigger. Couldn't do it, man.
Why not?
Wasn't in me, I guess. You know, whatever it is in you that lets you flow like you flow and do that thing, it ain't in me no more.
Alright. So you done soldiering, but you ain't done. Could use you for what you got in your head. We're gonna put you on a corner. You could be inside.
Oh, man. I ain't making myself clear. The game ain't in me no more. None of it.
But you ain't done shit else. You know what I'm saying? So what you gonna do?
I don't know. But it can't be this.
Alright then. Be straight.
B, he was a man in his time, you know?
Yeah. He a man today. He a man.
Did you prime it? That little rubber ball right there next to the spark plug. Gotta push it in 3 times before you try to start it. Gets the gas going to the car.
You want the truth? I ain't never used one of these. Never had no call to.
Yeah, well, I didn't pick you up for your landscaping skills. All these Spanish, they on paper too. Only use people like y'all. Sometimes it comes back on me, sometimes it works out fine.
Well, how long you been uptown?
10 years.
Hotter than a motherfucker out here.
Yeah, it's hot. Every day. You're going to be riding in the back of that hard truck, bouncing around every day. And your back's going to be yelling at you every day. I used to drive an SL, pretty gold convertible, nice rims. I don't even think on that car no more.
You put it behind you, huh?
Some can't. I'm just saying, you want to stay on the straight. Ain't going to be no big reward to it. This is it, right here. Prime that bitch 3 times. She'll start right up.
And I suspect we'll probably get a Cuddy or two. Cuddy was, based on the TV show The Wire, he was in his 30s, I guess. Maybe early 40s. And he had never used a lawnmower. He had to learn how to use a lawnmower. So, one of the things, you know what? With our first phase, like I said, we're planting foods. And as Robin stated, food, how did you put it, Robin? Because I'm looking at it as a marketing tool.
When you feed people, you get their attention.
There you go. Okay. So I'm looking at that. I mean, that's the goal of marketing. So, and food really doesn't cost that much. Basic stuff. So, that you know, tomorrow, like I said, tomorrow evening, we're going to set the date for the first weekly meal. And at that first weekly meal, we'll probably, you know, select, we'll do give a tour of the 4 acres. And then we're setting aside 1 acre for the community. All right. So this is where we'll be,
well,
you know, the garden, the farm,
well, that,
the classes, and all that.
This is important. You're not just setting aside an acre of land. It's let's let the people understand the significance of tithing land. Okay? The land belongs to God, and God considers when you tithe land, he considers that holy. And then he will then in return bless you to give sacrifices and tithes and offerings, and he'll increase the yield from the land, from both the seed and the grain and the fruit of the land. Does that make sense? And your sweat equity, he's going to multiply bountifully.
And we've never had a discussion on tithing. I don't go to church.
Yeah.
Basically, I might, since the pandemic, I got a friend or two that they have services online. I'll pop in out of those Bible studies now and then. But typically, I haven't set foot in a church or a synagogue or a mosque or whatever
He does talk with an evangelist every day.
Well, true. That's the everyday I do it. But what I do is I got into tithing years ago because I used to watch Fred Price, who passed earlier this year. I used to watch Fred Price on Sunday in Washington, D.C. So this one Sunday morning, Fred Price was talking about tithing. So it was an interesting thing. And at the time, I was behind on a mortgage payment of $4,000. Man, I was facing foreclosure. Anyway, I had $4 of cash on me. That was it. I took the $4 in cash, put it in an envelope, mailed it off to Crenshaw Christian Center, P.O. Box 90,000, Los Angeles, California. I forgot the zip code. And forgot about it. That night, somebody that I didn't expect that found out about my situation loaned me $4,000 to catch up the mortgage and get it out of foreclosure. From that point on, I read probably over 100 books on tithing. Mind you, I don't go to church. But that's another story. But what I do is, matter of fact, I would say the reason why I've been able to hold on to anything I've had during the pandemic is because on the bare minimum 12%, normally 15 to 20% when I get paid, I take, and sometimes I'll do 25%. Now, what's interesting, when I took 25% and right off the top and paid it to a spiritual person, organization, whatever you want to call it, where you get inspiration, then this came back, oh, wait a minute, you got this land here. And then that's when things started. And that's why, like I say, the phase one, the new phase one, because the old phase one a month ago was, all right, we got to build. And then we can charge for this. The new phase one, what we're talking about today, is it's free. Just donate some seeds, and we'll kick in what we need to on this end.
Yeah, and I want to also say how we got to that point, because you had a dilemma, if you would, and you needed a solution, but you didn't get desperate. And when you were seeking out a solution, you didn't first start seeking a solution for just your situation. You immediately first thought about, what can I do for the greater good? How can I make this work? Your mind stayed focused on the people, okay? And then that's how we stumbled upon the scriptures that that gave us a clearer understanding of what we were doing, and that you were actually tithing and the significance of you tithing that land. Okay?
Yeah, well, yeah, because and I'm like I said, I'm a big, once again, this is what you talk, people you talk, when you hear me, I don't know the last time I set foot in a church. Overall, I don't even like to hang around hardcore church people. Because
but
I know
me. But you talk to an evangelist every day.
That's true. I do talk to evangelists every day. But the one thing is, I know, because I got journals on this stuff. You know, when you can call it God, Allah, Buddha, Vishnu, whatever. I know when you give, it comes back multiplied. That's all I know. Based on that one sermon I heard from Fred Price, and
yeah.
He wrote a book on this topic called High Finances. But from that point on, I've read like over 100 books on the topic, and I it just works.
Yeah.
You know. So you don't have to, well, you know, all I know is, what some people call it karma. When you give it, it comes back multiplied. Okay? Some people give it then educate. I mean, when people set up foundations, you know, foundations or whatever, same thing, you're giving. So when you get, so with this phase one is we're offering the classes. Because some people are saying, well, you know what, if you pay me, and we're not gurus, you know, we don't have a course to sell. Just if you make it to this location, you'll get fed. You make it to this location, if you want to learn how to build a place, we ain't selling no books. We're not selling tapes. We're not selling CDs, DVDs. It's hands-on. You learn by doing.
Yeah.
Okay. You learn how to, you know, instead of going to Whole Foods, you become your Whole Foods by learning how to grow your own food. Okay. All free.
Yeah.
So by us doing that, and all we're asking is, we're not asking for money, send us a packet of seeds, at least one.
Yeah.
Just text us at 863. Whoa. Text us at 863-999-6494. Put in Solar Farm. And, you know, because this will help support when we bring in people who have set up solar barbershops or the Earthless Ledex or the Rural Energy Foundations. We bring in those speakers, you know, hopefully it will inspire, educate, and inspire somebody with the, and give you the how-to, the mechanics, so you can go back to wherever you came from and open up your own solar barbershop, hair salon, Airbnb business that runs off of renewable energy where you have no utility bills. Get yourself your own land so you can do your own thing. You know, but
yeah.
This is our lane, and I know. By having this as the phase one, we don't have to worry about
the
other 3 acres.
There's no shelter program. No transitional program, no housing program anywhere that where you will teach you how to build, and you will have the opportunity of owning what you build.
Well, lot of these outreaches, ministries, transitional housing programs, social service. A lot of those people are repeat customers. Same problem.
Well, that's not their fault. That's because that's the system. The system, it only will take them so far that it withdraws all support from them, so they can only fail. So then they go back to these people, and now they're going, and wagging their finger, right?
Right.
And not taking responsibility all the way up to the level, right? But you can teach a dog new tricks. And in some cases, when you're taking them out of, from being homelessness and whatever, and they are exposed to a lot out there, they're traumatized, probably suffering from PTSD. There could be some mental issues. There could be some drug addiction. And they take them all the way to the door, but they don't follow through and they don't address all their issues. So now they're stuck in a place, right? And now, and I say stuck, at least homeless, they could get up and go here, go there, and whatever. But now you done put them in a place, and you done withdraw all pressure. You haven't given them any information or any education or any support. Simple
or no training.
Now that you're in a place, you're going to have to budget your money, because you're going to have food, blah, 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 and all this. Because before, maybe some of your food and all that stuff was supplied by the shelters. So, I mean, you can't just give people money and put them up in a place and think your job is done and expect for them to succeed.
Right.
Okay?
And one of the classes, and we'll probably turn this into a retreat, we want to deal with some social issues, one in particular, because you got a lot of men right now, some of them are incarcerated, for not paying child support. So one of the classes, and we might do it as a rite of passage type thing, where, you know, for every child that you might have, you might have to build 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 rental prop houses and rent them out and let the rental properties that you build finance the child support payments. Because that's passive income. So we'll have classes and retreats based on how you can resolve, you know, some of these, just like the lady that I know that I talked about earlier today. She's got two kids in school. They're both going to school remotely by that phone. But she needs about two more smartphones in the house. But like I say, we do have in this 2021 going into 2022, even the person on Section 8 and welfare, you have more technology at your fingertips than President John Kennedy had when he was in office, as well as Lyndon Baines Johnson after he got in office. As a matter of fact, we can even probably put Gerald Ford, Nixon. It's incredible the amount of power that we have at our fingertips today. So all this stuff we'll be there. 341, your mic is open.
Ellie, sure. You don't talk for the last hour and a half getting people to send you free seeds. When the government gives away free seeds.
But why don't you tell nobody?
Because he's talking. Dab.
You know what now? Now that you mention that,
you can't do what you're doing because you got to have the same variety of seed to plant what you're talking about. Plants. You can't have one one little area here. What, you can't have one packet of this brand, one packet of that brand. No, it won't grow.
Well, see, that's why we got – this is our class right here.
Man, yes, you guys be wasting a lot of time on stuff, man. All you got to do is ask questions.
You should have
spoken. Hey, you got all over
ago.
The internet. They
no,
got
no,
these,
I, he couldn't talk because his mic was off.
They got free heirloom seed organizations. They give you seeds for everything. Watermelon, cabbage, carrots, kale, tomatoes.
Free seeds.
My goodness, man. Did you check your text message? I had a guy who was wanting to talk about tiny houses. I think I text you Saturday. No,
you
Sunday.
Know what? I did not. I got to get on that phone and check it out because I it's off right now. I mean, it's on
you
the charge.
You have
charges.
A couple of down
I'm on my
days.
Laptop.
How will you say,
all
Robin?
Right? Free seeds.
You have a couple of
government.
Down days on the. Communication side.
All right, free
seeds
from the government.
Since 9:30.
You know
no,
what?
9,
but I'm still asking for seeds from. You know what? I'm still asking for seeds from the audience.
Yeah, but you can
I
get
need...
free seeds. They'll all be the same heirloom. It won't be no seeds from Japan, seeds from Haiti, seeds from Argentina. That stuff don't grow.
All right, well, I'm looking at it right now. You're right. Free seeds from the government. All right, well, Pionk,
you
I'm
got
to open up
you
your
got
mic
companies
as soon as
out
you pop
there
up
that's
on
hair
the radar.
Long. You got companies out there that's hair long. All you got to do is send them some postage. They send you all the damn seeds you want. You
okay,
be seeds
well.
Out the glue.
And
when you grow gardens,
right
you cannot mix packages of seeds. This has to be from the
well,
same.
Like I said
doohickey.
Earlier, Pionka, we're bringing in people with a green. I don't have a green thumb. I admit it. We're bringing in people that have experience with growing.
All right. Well, good luck.
All I'm doing is I'm offering the platform, and then other people who have their expertise, like somebody like yourself. I had no idea.
I ain't going to be planting no damn garden, man.
Well, no.
This guy's got
is,
land. This guy's got land. He was asking me about the business. He's got land. I told him, I got a friend of mine that's been talking about this subject. He's pretty astute on it, too, on the questions I asked
okay.
him. But you got to get with me and I give you a phone if I didn't already.
All right.
His name is McGurr.
I'll open up my phone in about an hour.
All right, get back to talking about your seat.
Okay,
I'll
well, no,
we're going to
log off now. All right, thank you for Pianchi. I'm looking at free seats. The people out there that you, we're still asking because we need community involvement. The government will probably send some free seeds, but the government ain't coming out. We need you out there, to send us some free seeds. Once again, just text me. So we're going to take it any way we can get it. Robin, any announcements, Hilltop, or anything?
I don't know, man. Just tune in to the Hilltop Radio Show Sunday through Thursday night. At 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Okay.
Okay,
so that's tonight, and this is the last day of November. Tomorrow's December 1st. All right, well,
is
we're going to act on what
Pianchi
said with the free seeds. but people, you know what? Even if you got to go online and get the free seeds yourself and send it to us, we want your involvement. So, anyway, on that note, everyone have a good rest of the day.